This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Welcome back to another edition of Phillies Today. Kyle Forsini back with you guys for another episode and an unfortunate one where the Phillies season is officially over. Last week when I spoke to you guys, the series was 1-1 heading back to New York. Had a lot of confidence going into those games in New York. Thought the Phillies were going to find a way to turn around the season, find a way to put together good at-bats and get to the Mets pitching staff. And of course, that obviously just was not the case. The Phillies looked like the team in the postseason that they looked like for the better half, the better part of the second half of the season, the better part of the season since around early June. This Phillies team just kind of fell off kilter around that point and weren't able to really ever get it back. And I'll touch on some of the things here that I think might have been issues for that, why the Phillies didn't have the end result that they wanted to, much similar to how other National League teams that have had the bye have had, where they haven't been able to get past that first round. The Phillies fall right back into that same category. So I'll touch on some of the reasons why I think that the Phillies just were not prepared and were not ready for that, as well as how big of a disappointment this season is. You know, you can have all the regular season success that you want, but when it doesn't translate to postseason success and you don't keep taking steps forward in the postseason, it's going to be tough to label that season as a success. So even though they win the division for the first time in 13 years, there is a lot to talk about, a lot to get into, and a lot of disappointment to touch on, which is unfortunate, but that's what we're going to be doing for the next half hour. I want to start with just some of the main reasons why the Phillies were unable to win in the playoffs this season. And I think the biggest issue, like if you were to rank the bullpen, which was brutal, the hitters, you know, either 1-4 or then 5-9, like every single part of the order was not good. I know Bryson Castellanos did have decent series, but even they had big moments where they came up small for this team. But if you were to rank bullpen, lineup, managerial decisions, I would 100% always put lineup at the top of that list, because the Phillies hitters were just anemic for the entire series. And it's a lot of what we had seen for the second half of the season. It's a lot what we had seen in the postseason the last 2 years. It just started a couple of weeks earlier this year, right? Like we saw them in game six and game five and game six, and really even game four too, when they got no hit, of course, in the World Series. You know, the offense that was so hot, the offense that was seemingly just on track to win the World Series in Philadelphia. The series was never going to go back to Houston. You couldn't believe what you were watching because the Phillies were that good for the first 10 or so games in that postseason. All of a sudden you get to game four against Houston and they get no hit. And it's kind of like right then and there, you know, the series is over. Right then and there, it feels like everything is just, the bottom has fallen out. This team is not going to be able to recover from getting no hit in the World Series. And of course they don't. And the offense struggles. They score two runs in game five. They score one run in game six. You know, go down with three runs in the final two games of the series, and they lose the World Series to the Astros. And then you go and you play Arizona and you win 10-0 in game two. And then all of a sudden you go to Arizona and you feel like it's a completely different baseball team. And you only score one run in game three and look terrible on offense. And then game four, the bullpen collapses. And then you finally kind of right the ship in game five. You get everybody convinced that you're going to come back and you're going to win it. And then in games 6 and 7, you score a combined 3 runs again in the final 2 games of a series. The Phillies only scoring 3 runs in elimination games. And, of course, the season ends right then and there. And then that just kind of happened a little bit earlier this season with the Mets. I mean, you have game 1 where Kyle Schwarber leads off with the home run. The place is going nuts. I was in the crowd for that game when Schwarber hit the home run. It kind of felt like it settled everybody down. It kind of felt like, you know, there was certainly nervous energy in playing the Mets. There was nervous energy in not knowing how this team was going to react coming off of the bye. You know, we all wanted to believe that, look, these guys got the rest they needed. They were all nicked up for a large part of the second half of the season. You knew Bryce was hurt. You knew Schwarber had some underlying stuff that he was dealing with. Trey probably needed some time off as well. And he kind of just was hoping it was going to reset their approach and they were going to be different than how they were for the latter half of the season, where their offense really was just kind of would go hot and cold at times. It would be really hot and they'd win a couple of games in a row. And then all of a sudden they'd get no hit for 6 innings and put up a 0 on the scoreboard, and you wouldn't have been surprised either way. So when Schwarber leads off that game with a home run, it kind of gets everybody excited, right? Obviously, you know, you have the leadoff home run, you have a 1-0 lead. It feels like you're taking it to the Mets right away. Harper gets on with a walk, a batter later, and then that just kind of stalls out. And then that's really the only opportunity that the Phillies had until the 9th inning of that game. And it was just a shock to the system. And look, Zach Wheeler pitched his ass off. You know, Zach Wheeler was about as perfect as you can get through 7 innings of that game. He did throw a lot of pitches, and the Mets were obviously lucky to get him out of that baseball game. But then you have the bullpen coming in, and the bullpen that had been really good up until about the last 2 weeks of the season just completely falters, just completely craters in game one. Hoffman, Strom, Kirkering all implode, and of course the Mets are able to get 6 runs in that 8th inning and are able to win the game. And look, I'm not breaking any new ground by saying these things that look, the bullpen and the hitters and even Rob Thompson's managing decisions, which in game 4, where he leaves Hoffman in for the 6th inning after he gets an emotional out in the 5th, gets an emotional 2 outs, and then comes back about 15 minutes, 20 minutes later. Of course, he's not going to have the same sort of life on his fastball. His control is a little bit everywhere. You don't really know where the pitch is going, and Thompson just wasn't prepared for it. He just was not prepared to go out and get him. He was not prepared to have somebody else come in an event of a situation where Hoffman didn't have it. It was kind of like he was going to ride Jeff Hoffman and just pretty much cross his fingers and pray that Jeff Hoffman was going to figure out a way to get it done, and that's obviously not the case. But I still put the most blame on the hitters, and I got to be honest, and I know a lot of people feel the same way. I have to imagine that every single thing is on the table this offseason for the Phillies. Look, you're not going to be able to move off the contracts of guys like Trey Turner. I mean, obviously, I don't think anybody wants Bryce Harper to leave, but Trey Turner is really kind of the main one where you're just kind of stuck with him. And Trey Turner is a $300 million player on this baseball team that really just feels like he's kind of a pedestrian. He doesn't really do anything for the offense to make him jumpstart or have any sort of life. He doesn't really work walks. He doesn't have a good approach at the plate. He swings at everything. When there's a breaking ball off the plate, even if it's 10 feet off the plate, he makes up his mind that he's going to swing before the pitcher even releases the ball towards home plate. And it's just kind of a common theme with the Phillies hitters. If you remember earlier in the season, Nick Castellanos was asked about his approach, and he said, basically, I don't have an approach. I think of it as glorified batting practice. I go up there and I just try and hit the ball as hard as I possibly can. And for whatever reason, a lot of people wanted to take that and run with it and say that it was awesome. And, oh, look at this guy. He doesn't even have an approach. And he's, you know, he's a good player. And I love it. He's just got that kind of attitude. That's a horrible approach at the plate in baseball. Saying I don't have an approach. Saying I'm just going to think of it as batting practice and not try and pick up spin out of the hand and not think of anything other than trying to hit the baseball. That's not a good approach. It just feels like that is an idiotic thing to say, period, to leak that to the media so that people know that that's how you operate. Look, pitchers are going to know that's how he operates, period, when you have so many swings and misses that are glaring. But still, to say that, and then, you know, the fact that a lot of people thought that was awesome and a good thing to say, I was shocked by, because admitting that is just embarrassing. That you don't have an approach to the plate. But that's a common theme throughout the Phillies lineup, where it feels like so many guys don't have approaches. JT came up with 2 men on and 1 out in game 4 on an 2-0 count. He's on his front foot flailing at the ball, trying to get the ball up in the air for whatever reason. It's not like you can get a sac fly. You only have a man on second. Just a horrible 2-0 pitch to swing at, and he pops it up and lets the Mets off the hook. Like, those are the kinds of things that this team needs to get better at, and they need new blood in order to get better at this, because you're not going to teach an old horse or an old pony new tricks, whatever the saying is. You're not teaching them to do new things at this point in their careers. Everybody is on the wrong side of 30. JT has clearly lost a step. This is going to be his last year as a Philly if he's back on the roster in 2025. Nick Castellanos is on the wrong side of 30, and he's hit this way his entire life. He's not going to change. Trey Turner, wrong side of 30, been a successful player in Major League Baseball. He is not going to change the way that he bats at home plate. He's not going to change his approach. It's just simply not going to happen. And we can, you know, argue until the cows come home, argue until we are blue in the face about how this team needs to change that. I don't have any faith that it will. I don't. The only hitter in this lineup that really isn't a guess hitter, that really isn't somebody that just kind of goes up there hoping he hits the ball hard, is Bryce Harper. And when teams know, when you get to the postseason, when teams sit there and they say to you, we're not going to pitch to him because he's the only guy in that lineup that we have any belief can beat us. And Castellanos made him pay for it in game two, but in games three and four, there was no payment for it. And even in game three, Bryce Harper had a couple of massive outs where he just looked terrible at the plate. You needed something from your MVP. You needed something when he was at the plate and they weren't going to walk him, and he didn't get it done. And it's tough for Bryce because then he starts putting pressure on himself, and then he starts wanting to be the hero because he doesn't have any faith in the guys behind him to be the hero, and then he gets himself out. So it's the lineup just it's a massive domino effect from number one to number nine, and I even want to touch on Kyle Schwarber in a minute because there are so many things that just feel flawed with this offense that everything has to be on the table. Anybody that can be moved, maybe for just the sake of shaking things up and for the case of getting some new guys in the locker room so new voices are in there so this team can get their head out of their rear end, is something that's worthwhile. If you need to move Alec Bohm, move Alec Bohm. If you need to move Nick Castellanos because you don't like his approach to the plate, move Nick Castellanos. I know he had a fine series against the Mets, but the overall line of what he's done since he's been a Philly, the record that he has compiled since being a Philly, I don't think anybody would bat an eye at having a guy like that leave the team. So if he's the guy that you need to move, move him off the team. Brandon Marsh, Johan Rojas, two failed experiments, two guys that you had hope for coming into the season. You don't need them anymore. You can try and find upgrades elsewhere. Look, I don't think John Middleton is going to put a cap on whatever Dave Dombrowski can spend. I think he's going to let him go out there and he's going to try and field the best team possible. And obviously the team that they had this year with those guys is not the best team. It's not. You can obviously upgrade at those spots. And John Middleton and Dave Dombrowski said prior to the postseason even starting that if we don't get it done this year, it's not like we're retooling. It's not like we're not going to go all in next year. We are still going to go all in next year. And obviously the way that they bowed out in the playoffs this season might change John Middleton's mind a little bit. He might think that they are further away than they really thought they were for the entire season. But there are many things that need to be done with this offense, and Dave Dombrowski has to find a way to make this team better because this offense is just simply not going to cut it. It's just not. When you get to the postseason and these guys press and when they put pressure on themselves, they are the worst version of themselves. And I know it's probably been talked about ad nauseum for the last week. I get it. But I have to voice my displeasure on it because you were winning a game 1-0 in game four, and it felt like you were down 5-0 because of the approach of the plate, because of the fact that the Mets every inning had guys on base trying to score runs and they just couldn't come through. Meanwhile, the Phillies can't get a base runner because they're swinging at six pitches that are out of the zone and the inning is over. Just getting themselves out. You need guys who can put together good at-bats, and that is the main focal point that has to be for the offseason, to find someone or somebody that can change the dynamic of this offense. And you also need somebody that's going to be able to hit behind Bryce Harper because Nick Castellanos and Alec Bohm just simply don't cut it. And Alec Bohm is another story where who knows where he's going to be after the year. He said after the season that, he'd be back in a Phillies uniform. He didn't have any doubt where he'd be. I have some doubt where he'll be. The fact that he was benched in a postseason game, he likes to pout. He kind of seems like a me guy. He only likes when the team's doing well if he is doing well. I would not be shocked if he's back. But I said I want to talk about Kyle Schwarber. I'm going to get to that now. Because I have been a staunch defender of Kyle Schwarber being the leadoff hitter of this baseball team basically since he's been a Philly. It's what he did at the end of his Cubs career. It's what he did in Boston. I felt like he was the team's best option for a leadoff hitter. But as I've watched other playoff games so far this postseason and watched other teams go about it, and especially it seemed like Cleveland, you know, doesn't have this insanely high payroll, has a lot of guys that can just kind of do a job. And look, in a lot of ways, that's never going to win you a World Series. You need to be able to hit home runs, right? But when you have a guy like Stephen Kwan leading off the game for you, a guy that can steal bases, a guy that has a high batting average and a high on-base percentage, and I know that those are two things that a lot of people in analytics of baseball don't look at today, but my point of this is, when you have a guy that's scrappy and a guy that can get on base and a guy that can get hits, and when he's on first, he can steal second. And when he's on second, he can steal third and kind of make things happen. I'm ready for that to be the Phillies' leadoff hitter. I'm ready to retire the Kyle Schwarber leading off for the Phillies era of this squad. I'm just over it. Because when Schwarber comes up and he's, you know, 2-for-15 in the series and his two hits were in the first two at-bats of the series and he hasn't gotten one since and he hasn't gotten on base since or whatever crazy stat it is, that is just setting the tone for your offense to start the game. Having a bad at-bat and going down on three pitches in Game 3 against Manaea, that is setting the tone for the rest of the lineup in that first inning, and you need somebody that can be more competent at it. You just do. I know that Schwarber sees a lot of pitches, but what Schwarber also did is hit 249, and last year hit 197, and I know he hits a lot of home runs, and the home runs are obviously a big thing, but if he's hitting later in the order and he can knock in some more runs with those home runs, I'm ready to see it. I am. I'm ready to watch him be that guy that drives in more runs just because he's hitting in a lower spot in the order. I'm done watching him batting leadoff for this team. And when you know it's basically, and I know Schwarber had a better season this year than he did last year and the year prior in terms of batting average, but I know that I'm ready for him to when he comes up to the plate, it's basically home run or bust. It's basically he's going to hit this one into the second deck, or he might strike out or just make a weak out. You know, you're not getting the singles, you're not getting the doubles, you're not getting the stolen bases that other teams are getting out of their leadoff hitters, which are big things. It is still baseball. That is still how it can be played. You can still have the conventional guy batting leadoff that can do damage for you in other ways than just hitting the ball out of the yard on the first pitch of the game. I know Rob Thompson has said it. He loves Schwarber in that leadoff spot because he likes having the instant threat, that guy that can right away, bang, change the course of a game by hitting a home run. But you saw that in Game 1. You saw the Phillies in Game 1 have Schwarber lead off with a home run, and it didn't matter because the rest of the offense couldn't do a dang thing. You know, he can't be the only offense, and him batting leadoff, I'm just ready for it to be over. Three straight years of failing is going to call into question every single thing they have done for the last 3 years, and everything should be on the table for change. It just, plain and simple, it should. I have been a staunch defender of it. I have wanted him in that leadoff spot. I am ready to move on. I am ready to see somebody else be the leadoff hitter for this baseball team. And truthfully, I don't think that player is on the Phillies right now. I don't. They're going to have to be busy. They're going to have to go out in the offseason and try and find somebody who can come in and be that role. Find somebody who can have a solid offensive approach, because it looked like for a while that could be Bryson Stott, and even last season he did lead off for a little bit. I no longer think that Bryson Stott can be that guy. Bryson Stott was a massive underachiever this year after a solid second season in the big leagues, a massive, massive disappointment this year. And he did have the RBI triple in Game 2. You know, he had a couple of big hits in the playoffs, but still a massive failure of a season for Bryson Stott. And also, you know, his plate approach. You know, the Phillies kind of have a very drastic change in approach from hitter to hitter. You've got some guys that are uber aggressive that will get themselves out on pitches out of the zone on the first pitch of the at-bat. But then you have Bryson Stott, who pitchers know is not swinging at the first pitch. Pitchers are going to groove him a fastball or any pitch in the middle of the zone just to try and get ahead because they know he's not going to swing at the first pitch. And somewhere in between there is a happy medium that the Phillies need of a hitter that can be aggressive but can also stay within himself and stay in the zone. And it's up to Dombrowski and company to figure out who that's going to be this offseason because they desperately need it. And I think the Phillies really had a failure in the second half of the season, and especially obviously once the playoffs come around, just because of the fact of the way they handled things in the regular season. You know, JT in London needed knee surgery. He thought he could play through it. He was playing through it for a little while. All of a sudden, you know, the Phillies have about an 8-game lead at that point, whatever it is. And it's like, JT, go and get that surgery. Ranger, your back doesn't feel great. You haven't had a great couple of starts. We're going to shut you down for about a month. We're going to let Taijuan Walker start, Tyler Phillips, Seth Johnson, you know, Michael Mercado. They were just kind of lollygagging their way through the season once they got a big lead in the division. It felt like there wasn't a sense of urgency. And every time that the division did get a little bit closer and teams got to within five games of them or four games of them, it felt like they started trying after that. And then once they would build the lead back up, it was like, we're going to rest on our laurels. We're just going to kind of hang out. We know we're going to win the division. But once postseason time comes around, we're going to turn it on and we're going to be fine. And even JT said that after the season, saying to the effect of, you know, we thought we could turn it on. And we kind of found out that it's harder to turn it on than we thought. We weren't able to just kind of wake ourselves up and be able to play good baseball at the time when it was needed most. And that is an inexcusable excuse by the Phillies in that scenario. And a lot of guys after the season had excuses or just had stuff that nobody wanted to hear. You know, Trey talking about how it's harder to hit in the box. It's easier to sit there in the dugout or at home and say that you shouldn't swing at that pitch. It's harder to do it. And Alec Boehm saying, I'm not going to change my style as a hitter. It's gotten me to this point. You know, I am the hitter that I am. I only saw, 12 pitches in the entire series. But I'm not going to change my style of hitter, the way I hit. That's who I am. That's what's gotten me to this point. Like, these guys seem like they are set in their ways. These guys seem like they are just kind of out of touch. And it's a shock that we've gotten to this point because of how much of a love affair it was with this team in 2022 and in large majority, a large part of 2023, especially in the playoffs in 23 up until the collapse at the end, that we could turn on them so fast. But it's warranted. It is deserved. And I don't know where they go from here. I really don't, but there has to be something that's done. And then the last thing real quick here that I want to touch on is why this year needed to be the year that you get the job done. And I know that next year is going to roll around and you have no idea what can happen next year. Teams might regress. There might be different teams in the mix that you're not as afraid of. But this year was set up so perfectly for you. The Dodgers are decimated on their pitching staff. The Brewers were choke artists all the time. The Padres are the exact same thing. The Diamondbacks didn't even make it into the postseason. The Braves were limping to the finish line for the entire season. They had catastrophic injuries of what feels like every single position on that team. The Mets were basically the only team that you should have been worried about. And you shouldn't have even been worried about him because the Phillies should have been able to wake up and find a way to get it done. But to not get it done in a year where teams that are always at the top, teams that are always contending, the Braves had won 7 straight NL East titles, the Dodgers have been in the playoffs for over a decade straight, whatever it is. You know, this was the year to get it done. It was almost like an easy year to do it. The American League is weak. If you get to the World Series, you're playing the Yankees or the Guardians, one of the teams. You know, neither of them should scare you. Neither of them have the pitching. Neither of them have the lineup necessarily. The Yankees have Judge and Soto, but outside of that, not a whole lot in that lineup. You know, it felt like it was being handed to you on a silver platter to get the job done this year and to just bow out basically right away is sickening. And I know it's been sickening for the last week. I know it's sickening for everybody that has had to watch that, everybody that is a Phillies fan in the Delaware Valley, anywhere. You know, you're sick to your stomach with how that season transpired, with how that season played out, because it felt like it was just there for the taking. I don't think it's breaking new ground to say that Atlanta being as injured as they were was one of the main reasons why you had a division title. The Mets being incompetent for the first 2 months of the season and you being able to get to 17 and a half games ahead of them at one point in the season is why you had a chance to win this division with such ease. You are not going to have that going forward. The Braves are going to be better. And by the way, the Phillies were about as healthy as you can get. Zach Wheeler did not miss any time this season. Aaron Nola didn't miss any time this season. You know, you had guys in your lineup who might have been out for a week or two. Bryce Harper had a hamstring injury for a very brief period of time. Trey Turner had a hamstring injury for a very brief period of time. Schwarber, same thing, was out for a very short period of time. But you were mostly healthy. You had guys that were just ready to go on any given day. Your bullpen was healthy for the majority of the season. Didn't really have any major injuries. Strom pitched a full season. Hoffman pitched a full season. You get Estevez at the deadline, and I know he's not great, but he's good enough. And you just throw it all away. and never really even have a fighter's chance when the playoffs roll around. It makes me sick to my stomach. It makes me just confused and really just unsure of how this team is going to recover, how this team is going to figure out a way to get past this. I don't know. I mean, there'll be light at the end of the tunnel, I'm sure. We will get excited once, you know, February rolls around next year, when March rolls around, you know, you'll be able to get up and ready for the season. But it's going to be very, very hard to trust this baseball team next season, because this season we felt like we did. And every time that the Phillies would go on a losing streak, we would talk ourselves into the fact that they are still the best team in baseball. They still have, you know, this big of a lead in the division, this big of a lead in the standings for the playoffs. And to watch it all just come crashing down and really it all mean nothing in the end is going to be very, very hard to trust this baseball team. Look, that's going to do it for me. Dave Dombrowski and Rob Thompson are both speaking today, so make sure you are ready to listen to that coming this afternoon. We'll hopefully find out a lot about what the direction of this team is going to be, and we will see what the Phillies' next move is, how they're going to maneuver this offseason, how they're going to be ready to be a better baseball team and prepared to be a better baseball team in 2024. Until then, have a great rest of your week, everybody. I'll be back next week, as usual, talking about hopefully some Phillies' offseason moves, and we'll see what happens.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.